Have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be continuing our study through 1 Corinthians, and we'll be looking here at the first three verses of that chapter. I've entitled it, Being Misled, and I know that's not the most attractive title in the world, but it is what it is. But I do want to talk to you this morning about, obviously, every good sermon should have a theme, should have something we're answering, something we're trying to accomplish. And so today, is obviously, I want to talk to us about how to overcome being misled. Okay? Many things mislead us. Book titles. The never-ending story. Miss Janet, you're looking at me. I like that. Good eye contact. It ends, though, right? I've never read the book, but I've, it has the ending to the book. No, it's misleading. To Kill a Mockingbird. No, they don't. They don't kill a mockingbird. Movie titles. There's one movie title. I read this. There's a movie called Drive. So it should be about what? Well, driving. Yet, this Ryan Gosling thriller was not what one missing woman expected. When she bought a ticket to see it, she realized it was not about driving at all. She is suing the film district as well as the theater because she was under the impression that it would be a Fast and the Furious style action movie. So obviously the title was misleading. I wrote this down. Politicians mislead us. Salesmen mislead us. Advertisement mislead. Remember, see all these advertisements, especially when it comes to like, I don't have them in my head right now, but you'll see like, there's always some type of catch there. It sounds really good financially, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, it's not as good as they thought. Things mislead us. The point that I want to get you to understand, and it's not just titles and advertisements that mislead us, but many times feelings, the way we were brought up, thoughts, sin, Satan, ourselves, which you call the flesh, can mislead us spiritually. There's no shortage in the Bible of stories about being misled. Adam and Eve were misled about the fruit. Samson was misled into thinking that Delilah was his friend. David was misled into thinking that it was okay to have Bathsheba. Aaron was misled to making a golden calf. Jesus even predicted people being misled. Mark 13:22 says, for a false Christ and false prophet will arise to lead astray the elect. Luke warns in Acts 20:30, and from among you yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul combated it. 2 Corinthians 3, and says, while evil people and posers will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 4:14, for times will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion and will turn away from listening to the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, bad company ruin good morals. The truth is, we've all been misled. And the Christian are being misled or will be misled if not careful. So the question is, how do we go about guarding against being misled? Well, you may ask this, what does that have to do with our text? Everything. Let's read the verses. It says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. So there we see verse 2 that in the past they had been misled. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you for the next few minutes, you'll just give me exactly what needs to be said, Lord, as a, obviously you were with me when I was studying, and as you'll continue to be with me now, Help us, Lord, not to hear what I have to say, but to understand better what you've already said to us. And ask the Lord to help us today in Christ's name. Amen. Here's the context. He's talking about spiritual gifts, okay? Now, this is one of the questions that has been raised by the Corinthian. Paul's addressing. Obviously, if you remember the series of questions, the first one was in chapter 11, verse 1. We talked in detail about the women covering their heads and the men not covering their head. We talked about all of that. Then the second thing we talked about that was going wrong was the Lord's Supper. And we spent 2 weeks talking about that, the love feast, and then the Lord's Supper. When it comes to the third thing here, the third thing that they're having issues with is the spiritual gifts, okay? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just not in my note, but I want to say this. Obviously, it's alluding to a lot of different things, but especially of speaking in tongues. I'm going to give you a short discussion on that. This was 1 Corinthians was taking place in the book of Acts. Okay? They did not have the complete revelation of God yet, like we do. So, things that happen in Acts, remember, get the thing about the book of Acts, is a time of transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. When that time of transition took place, the gifts ceased to be, especially the speaking of tongues. Now, I can put your whole sermon on that later, and I think we probably will get to that, but that's, I just want to say that. So we're still in that time of transition. And in these spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gave them to authenticate what they were saying. Today, Brother Mike, the way we authenticate what we're talking about is by the Word of God. Okay, and I can put your sermon on that as well. Okay, but so they didn't have that like we do today. But here's the problem. They were a lot of problems. You know, obviously, it's no surprise that people wanted these gifts and claimed to have these gifts due to the fact that it brought a lot of attention. I'm going to skip over a few things here. And then, obviously, there were some people who were not saved who were claiming to have the spirit gifts, especially the one of speaking in tongues. Well, and because of this, they were being misled. So here's the question. What does Paul tell them here? I think that the spiritual gift goes all the way to, I think, chapter 15, I think. So we'll spend a lot of time. But in his opening statements about the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, he gives a couple of three things that should help us not be misled. Okay? Number one, the first thing Paul said, he said, to help combat being misled, he said, number one, refuse to be ignorant. Refuse to be ignorant. This is going to be the what. Point two is going to be the why, and point three is going to be the how. Okay? So, point number one, refuse to be ignorant. So, that's what we need to do. We need, today, if we want to guard against being misled, we have to refuse to be ignorant. And verse 1, we'll read it again. It says it very directly. And it says, I would not have you ignorant. Here's the philosophy. For us not to be misled, it is important, or actually imperative, that we educate ourselves. Paul's philosophy is seen here. Go to chapter 10, verse 1. It says this. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. And we already read verse 1 of chapter 12, and it says, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant means not to know. Okay, now obviously, ignorant is not stupid. Ignorant means you don't know. Stupid means you're just, well, stupid. And I'm not sure how you explain that one, to be honest with you. It means that you don't have ability to learn. You really may have a lower IQ. But ignorant is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means you're ignorant. Okay, we're all ignorant of something. But the thing is, if we don't want to be misled, we have to not be ignorant. It can mean uninformed. The ESV says it like this. I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul's philosophy in verse 1 tells us that his philosophy to keep them safe is for them not to be ignorant. His philosophy is for them to know the truth. Well, as I was studying, it's not just Paul's philosophy, it's also God's philosophy. And if you want to, you don't have to. I got it wrote in my note. Joshua 1:8. It says this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is God talking to Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou shalt make observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is God saying? Now, if it's going to the promised land, and God is saying to Joshua and to all the people to keep from being misled, what you need to do is you do not need to be ignorant of the Word of God. That's what he's saying. So what we have to understand, for us not to be misled, and it's true of any topic. It can be the topic of buying cars. It can be a topic of going into business. The best way not to get misled by some deceiver is to educate yourself. Is to refuse to be ignorant. Paul says that. Do not be ignorant. See, ignorant is not blessed. John Phillips said this. Ignorant is the mother of many kinds of mischiefs. Ignorant causes us to be misled. Now, stay with me. Ephesians 4:14 says this. And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all obtain the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, that they may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine. Does not that describe most Christians today? Being carried away like waves by human cunningness, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Do you see it? Children, ignorant. We obviously, comparing to an adult, a child is ignorant. You see the misleading, tossed to and from. Now, what was the answer? God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. What is that? That's education. That's a tool for us not to remain ignorant. That's why we come together and meet. That's one of the reasons for church is to come together when we together can study the Word of God. Not what I think, not what you think, not for us to share around our own ideals and personal feelings, but for us to study the authoritative Word of God where we will not be ignorant. Because here's the thing, ignorance will cause you to be misled. In so many areas in your life, and spiritually speaking, we sit back, we sit around, and we talk with our buddy, we talk with family members. Well, this is what I think you ought to do. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters, the only thing that matters, is what the Word of God says. That's it. And for us to know that, we cannot, we have to refuse to be ignorant. To not be misled, we have to educate ourselves on the command, the consequences, the temptation. To not be misled, we have to educate ourselves. We have to, the Bible says, renew your mind. We have to study and show ourselves approved. Why? Well, think about Peter. What did Jesus say? Your flesh is weak. Peter said later, the devil is a lying seeker whom he may devour. Why? Because just alone, our own flesh and Satan is out to mislead us. You ever had a moment when, say, you was rude to somebody, you weren't like Christ, and you felt justified in that? What is that? That means, and then later you said, that's not what God would have done. What just happened? Your flesh misled you. And that's why we have to renew our mind. That's why we have to refuse to be ignorant. So we see the philosophy, now look at the problem. What's the problem? Pretty simple. People are ignorant. The Corinthians were ignorant about spiritual gifts. This third manner takes up as much space as we talked about meat given to idols. They were ignorant. That was the problem. Believers today are ignorant. Today, it didn't take long to realize that most of us are really ignorant about what God really wants. We grew up in church. We grew up with a little checklist. We know the do and the don't. We know the things that get frowned upon. But most of the time, even myself, we don't really are very ignorant to what God really wants. so many times. Why? Because we don't study the Word of God. We don't go to trying to let it transform us. Why are we ignorant? It's just me. It's me. It's not the Bible. It's just me. I wrote this down myself. Laziness and apathy. Many of us are not willing to find out what God says. Many of us are not willing. I mean, it's amazing to me when something happens and so many people don't want to go to the Word of God. Even personally in your own life, do you sit down and really ask yourself, what did the Word of God really say about this situation? The problem, a lot of us already made our mind up and we go to the Bible to justify it. Hey, some of us just don't want to hear. I mean, I've already read this verse, but let me read it again. The 2 Timothy says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Ain't amazing now the world we live in, how many people believe a lie? And I don't know, I'm not getting political, but I remember I watched a video where he was trying to talk to these people who were anti-guns and saying this and that, and the man said, no, automatic weapons are illegal now. No. Yeah, they are. Now, semi-automatic is not illegal, but automatic weapons are illegal. They're ignorant. And then one said, well, they've told lies. He said, what lies have they told? They're lies to me. He said, lies are not subjective to you. We live in a world now that what you believe truth is, the truth is what you believe it to be. And you say, what's your point? My point is that we've turned to fables. In this world, we have turned to complete fables about stuff. Fable. Now, the fable of, we cannot really tell who's a boy or a girl. That's a fable. And that's what we're turning to. But we say amen to that. But what about in your own life? Do you ignore certain things you know you should be doing? And my favorite one, get tired of hearing it, is love your enemies. How many of y'all refuse to do that? See, we don't talk about that. But it's true. I mean, we're supposed to know. I mean, let's be honest. When you go out to eat somewhere and the waiter is bad, and you say, well, I'm not going to leave them a tip. What are you saying? I'm not going to love them because they didn't do what I wanted. Oh, see? When you come, oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. Because we all, deep down, have itchy ears. Well, a lot of times we're ignorant because we don't want to know any more than we know. Here's the problem. It's hard to practice. The reason that many of us are misled is because we're ignorant for whatever reason. What do we need to do? We need to refuse to be ignorant. To avoid being misled. By the way, you stand in front of God, saying you didn't know is not going to be acceptable, especially to an American. And you got all the access to know exactly what God wants you to know. To avoid being misled, you have to refuse to be ignorant. But secondly, you have to recall the past. And this is the why. You say, why should I refuse to be ignorant? Just look back in your life. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look here. Here's the review. Letter A, here's the review. In verse 2. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as we were led. Paul reviews with them. He says, you were Gentiles at one time. Which means they were pagans. And he said there was a time when you were led away. You were misled by these dumb idols. It means that you thought you were doing right. You were ignorant. And you just followed after these idols thinking that it was the right thing. And it's true today. Even people who don't follow Christ, most of them would think they're doing right. You know? I mean, they're sincere. The problem is that being sincere don't change it being wrong, you know? You know, sincerity is great. People are like, well, they're just so sincere. Surely they'll go to heaven. Sincerity don't send you to heaven. Jesus Christ, being saved by Jesus Christ does. But they were sincere. But Paul said, remember when you were misled only like 5 years ago before you got saved? You were misled. And that's what he said. He brings up their past to get them to understand that they had a tendency to be ignorant. They had a tendency to say, I know it all, and I know I'm making the best decision for my life. And he's saying, you messed up not that long ago. People have said this, Paul writes to you to remind them of their ignorance, of the things of the Spirit of God, thus their need for Paul's teaching. What he's trying to do, he's saying, don't be ignorant. And they might have said, well, why? He's saying, well, you remember how terrible you were? Remember how dumb you were? Remember how misled you were? Hey, if it could happen once, it could happen twice. I mean, have anybody ever been wrong about something? And then 5 years later, you've been wrong about something else? Yeah, and that's what Paul's making an appeal. He's reviewing their life to get them to understand one thing. They need to listen. Same thing in your life. Why do you need to listen to what God says today? Because you need to look in your own life, and all of you will say, I've been misled. I've made bad choices. We need to review our mistakes in order to have humility, thus be motivated to be educated. Learn from the past, not live in the past. Why? To see that you can fall to give yourself motivation. See, humility is how you'll grow. Pride is going to cause you to fall. See, if you walk out here and say, well, I got this under control, then you're going to fall. You're going to be misled. When a person walks out today and says, you know what? I have been misled. And I need all the help I can get from God. That person's going to go home and eliminate ignorance from his life. Doesn't mean he's not going to make a mistake, but it means he's going to spend time. The next time he makes a business decision, you know, which, by the way, I've come up with a new little quote, in the name of business justifies many sins. I'm about tired of hearing, that's just business. You know, that's justify. Well, you know, justify many sins. I'll be honest with you. No, just business is not just business. You, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to still act a Christian, even in business. But when you make a business decision, you make any type of decision, if you know that you've been misled in the past, you might stop and say, I better check with God first. That's the whole point. So, we see the review, but now that should bring resolve. The resolve. We should be resolved in our hearts to do something. I wrote a couple things down. Be alert. If we know that we can be misled, and we know we have been misled, that should cause us to be alert. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is at a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here, hey, don't be naive. The worst thing you can do today, one of the most dangerous things you can do, is be naive. And one of the worst things you can say is, well, I'll never do that. No, you need to be alert. You need to be knowing that the devil's out there and that your flesh is weak, and you do everything you can to the next thing, to put on the armor of God, to be equipped. The problem, most of us is like, well, I'm just ignorant, and I'm proud of it, and I'm not going to do anything to change anything. Well, then, my friend, you're going to be misled. So you say, why do I need to refuse to be ignorant? Because our past reveals to us that ignorance will mislead you into trouble. That's what Paul is telling them. Your ignorance got you in trouble the last time. Don't let it happen again. Your ignorance, I'm talking to each and every one of you, your ignorance in the past has got you in trouble. Don't let it happen again. And that's what Paul's saying. So that's why we need to do the what? To avoid being misled, we need to refuse to be ignorant. You need to review your past. And thirdly, you need to run as fast as you can to the truth. You say, where are you getting at? Look at verse 3. Paul gives them the truth to know who really had the gift of the Spirit. And he says this, wherefore I give it you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. That's the first test. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's the second test. So, we see the what, refuse to be misled. We see the why, review your past and humble yourself. That's why. And now we see the how. How do we make sure we're not misled? Run to the truth. How can you know someone who claims the gift of the Spirit? How do you know if they do? And Paul points to two truths. By the way, it's not in my note, but I've read it many times. I've heard it. You know, I can just take what they say. They say, basically, I don't know about now, but I know at one time, maybe in the older day, when somebody worked at a bank, and they would get them, they would count the money. And to get them to understand what counterfeit money felt like, they didn't give them counterfeit money. They gave them the real stuff. And they touched the real stuff long enough that when they touched something fake, they, oh, that's fake. Because you're never going to be able to know every lie out there, but what can guard you the best from being misled is not studying all these other things or experimenting them like Solomon did, but for you to know the truth. So what did Paul say? Well, letter A, he said this, listen to the words. That's what he said. He said, no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus a curse. So here's the situation. Some of the Corinthians were fleshly. They were given over to demon control that were not saved. They were claiming to teach in the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, they were blaspheming the name of Christ. So here's the problem. The believer, you got these Corinthian believers, Brother Darrell, and they're hearing them, you know, and most likely were speaking in tongues, and it was a big show, and they had been pagan, so they were already attracted to all that show, and they're like, man, they're from the Holy Spirit. But they wasn't. And what one guy said was, these believers were judging off experience and not content. Oh my goodness. I could preach all day on that. Experience, not content. We do that today. I've said it before. We'll say this. Man, the Holy Spirit really showed up. How do you know that? Well, it made me cry. Experience. I got emotional. Experience. We had a lot of people here. Experience. What about content? Did anyone get saved? No. Anyone repent? No. Did all them folks come back next Sunday? No. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, He changes you. Did we learn the Word of God? No. So did the Spirit really show up? Oh, yeah. Why? Because of what I experienced. Okay. You have to judge truth on content, not experience. Just say it. You have to judge it. And that was their error. Paul says, don't be misled. Listen to their words. And what are they saying? They were cursing God. So for us today, let me tell you this. One of the first things that can tip you off if someone's not of God is what is their view of Jesus Christ. See, have you ever noticed? Everybody says God. But very few people say Jesus Christ. And you even know that people who did say Jesus Christ, and the longer, especially in the media, the longer they're in the media, they kind of leave that part off. The cross offends people. Jesus Christ offends people. They don't mind God, because everybody has a God. They don't mind saying God, but they don't like Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying here. These folks were cursing Jesus Christ. You'll know them by their words. Listen to the words, but letter B, also look at their works. And it says here, in verse 3, that no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, the second thing they got to confess is another confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. But here's the thing. And this is really good stuff. If you say Jesus Christ is Lord, what should confirm that? Your actions, right? Yeah, that's right, Brother Mike. Your actions. See, that's the thing. Is everybody's going to heaven. I've said this over and over. Everybody loves God. Everybody was saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord. But if He really is, your life is going to reflect it. Your life is going to reflect it. Because if Brother Don, you know, captures me in a net and says, now you're my slave and I'm your Lord. I say, yes, Lord, Master. And what's going to happen the next day? Somebody comes over and see Brother Don. And I come over and say, Lord God, what do you want me to do today? Go cut the grass. Yes, sir. And they're like, man, he really is your slave. He really is his Lord. But if I'm sitting over there watching TV and God says, you can go cut the grass. I say, yes, Lord, I will. And if I don't do it, then, and he really my Lord? I can even go around saying, he's my Lord. He's my master. But if I don't ever do anything he tells me to do, then he's not really my Lord, is he? Who's the Lord? Myself. Same thing with Jesus. People say, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. But is he? Because if you're not listening to him, which by the way, it's called Lordship Salvation. He's saying that Jesus is not your Savior unless he's the Lord of your life. And that's what he's saying, you know, they just shouting all day. But if somebody who shouts that I am, that Jesus is my Lord, Paul's saying, the works are going to back it up. The works are going to back up, which is another thing, by the way, watch people. They say, well, I love the Lord. What do the works say? Now, obviously, all of us make mistakes. I'm not saying that. But that's exactly what he's saying. So what is Paul doing? Paul is giving them the truth. So let's kind of bring it back to us when it comes to being misled. What do we need to do? How do we make sure that we're not misled in any area of our life? You ready? I can't get that across enough. In our society now, even in the Christian conservative churches, it's becoming less and less and less. Becoming less and less and less. I mean, even preachers, when you listen to preachers, a lot of your even preachers, they'll thump it and they'll hoot and holler, but they don't really preach much of it. My mentor used to tell me, most sermons, you can feel in a thimble the amount of Bible that you're actually learning. Run to the truth. You want not be misled? Run to the truth. That's what Paul said. Paul said, here's the truth, guys. If they blaspheme Jesus, they're not of God. And if their lives don't match what they're saying, they're not of God. That was the truth. And so today, we can take that today and say the same thing true with us. For us to not be misled, run to the truth. And which obviously means obey it too, but run to it, know it. That is how we do not remain ignorant. Well, you say, well, I don't know about that. Paul knew that the only thing that would set them free was the truth. Hey, that reminds me of a verse. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ain't that amazing? That is the key to not be misled by false teachings. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a religious person to be a false teaching. It can be a secular person. Oprah would be a false teacher. You know, even these books, like, you know, just find yourself. Find your own identity. You know, find true happiness. That's false teachings. And you deserve to be happy. That's really not what the Bible says. Paul doesn't say you deserve to be happy. Paul probably wasn't happy sitting in prison or getting beat up or being shipwrecked. But what can keep you from being misled by your feelings, on your how you were raised, on your thoughts, or logic, common sense. Sometimes common sense makes a sin. Because common sense tells me, and Brother Don hit me, I'm supposed to hit him back. That's common sense. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says turn the other cheek. So to keep us from being misled by any of them things, what we have to do, we have to run to the truth. The only thing that will keep you from being misled or get you back from being misled is the truth. That's the good thing. Because they say, you say, well, I have been misled. Well, the best way to get back is just right here. Here's the thing. So how do you guard from a tendency for being misled? Remove your ignorance by running to the truth. As we conclude, here's the question. How not to be misled? And here's the answer. We see it right here in the Word of God. Refuse to be ignorant. Review your past. And run to the truth. That's the truth today. As the piano player come up, and we stand to our feet, I might ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads just out of respect and give everybody a little privacy. And I simply want to ask you, have you been misled? Let me ask you, are you being misled? Hey, maybe you be like me. Let me be honest. You say, I've been kind of lazy. I've had a little apathy Because you know what I've learned is no one really minds being misled until it comes back to bite them. And then, oh man, I care now. How many of y'all are like, I'm being misled right now, but I don't care because it hadn't bit me yet. Anybody like that? That's how most of us are. We're all that way. As they begin to play, if God has spoken to you, I would want to encourage you, hey, come to the altar. You know, we can still do that, by the way. It's okay to do that. But what we need to do, we need to refuse to be ignorant. Hey, if you've been in this church 50 years, I guarantee you, you're still ignorant. You know why? Because you don't know what God knows. You're not infinite. There's still something in the Word of God that you can study today, but man, I've been missing that. Do not remain ignorant. You know why? Because you've been misled before. Look at your life. Look in the past. And there's one answer. There's one answer. One answer only. Run to the truth.